Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Kevin Costner, whose band Modern West is coming to the Birchmere on Wednesday, August 24th. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jason.
Awesome. So when you first say Kevin Costner, first thing everyone thinks of your movies, but I want to dive into your music here. When did your love of music start? Like, do you remember picking up an instrument as a kid, or when did that sort of obsession start for you?
Well, I was raised a Baptist. My grandmother was the piano player, and my mom and her sister were in the choir. If you're a Baptist, you always do the manger scene every Christmas. And I was a wise guy. I was a wise man. So I grew up with the music of the church. I was trained classically on the piano, and I used to write poetry. I was in musicals, and so music was always a part of our life in our house.
Awesome. Do you remember, as the wise man, was it frankincense or myrrh? Or what was your gift?
Well, my mind wandered, and usually the thing on my head was too big, and it kind of fell over my eyes, and I was like one of the shepherds, I usually had one line in the whole thing.
That's hilarious.
Like hark, there it is.
Hark, that's great. But all right, so it got sort of the church stuff. What about any because your band's sort of a country rock vibe. Do you remember any early influences on that sort of thing, either the radio or anything?
Well, I was in the '60s, and there was so much music coming out of the '60s. I remember one of the first records I bought was the Youngbloods, and Smile on Your Brother, Everybody Come Together, Time to Love One Another. That whole vibe, really started to speak to me. It was music was starting to really come alive, and I remember, absorbing all of it.
All right, come on, people! Now that's a great song.
Yeah,
awesome. Now take me into sort of so you've had sort of those musical influences bubbling all along throughout your whole life and career. But in 2007, take me into the formation of Modern West. I believe. I want to get to John Coyman in a second, but first of all, go into it was your wife that encouraged you to do this?
Yeah, she had found John and I were in a band in the '80s called Roving Boy, and. My movie career started to kind of really, push into high gear, and trying to raise a family, do two different things just wasn't going to work. And so we kind of just disbanded. And then my second wife found the music and said, I don't know why you don't do this. And I just had all kinds of reasons to not do it. Kind of like a kid not wanting to take the trash out or mow the lawn. I just kept putting it off, and she stayed on me for about 2 years, and finally I said, okay, I would do it. And I really, basically, the band was formed just to play music wherever I happened to be making a movie. I didn't have a grand plan for touring,
right,
or making a record or anything, but that evolved, and it's pretty emblematic of most of my career. When I do something I love, it always has a way of kind of working out, and the music ended up taking me it's taken us all around the world. We've been together for the last 12 years. And in fact, our last record was called Where the Music Takes You. When I say the last record, nobody will know about it because I never released it. That's just the way I do things, So I guess people that come, they can buy that record at the concert.
Awesome. Take me. So your wife finds this thing and says, man, you got to do this. So then what? Then you call up John. He's living in what? Tucson at the time. You guys had met at like an acting workshop or something. And then you call. How does that conversation go? Hey, man, I want to start a band.
Well, it wasn't an easy one at first. I tried to do the band with three other guys, and it just didn't feel right. I felt like too much pressure was going to fall on me. And I thought, because John was in Tucson, but I decided to call him, and I wasn't sure since, we already tried once and we didn't follow through with it. We liked working together, but I wasn't sure how he was going to respond. And he drove out immediately. And the idea was just to play original music. And we started to write music and brought Blair, who was in that original band. And then out of that, we assembled the rest of the guys.
That's so cool. You mentioned the latest album that you never released, but take me through sort of you know, the chronology of your music, sort of how Modern West has evolved from Untold Truths to Turn It On, From Where I Stand, famous for the Hatfield and McCoy's thing, and then now to the one that you know that you said you haven't released yet. How do you think you've sort of grown since those early Untold Truths days?
Well, yeah, the band has always been great. I've gotten a little better.
How humble.
You know, I've gotten a little better. They've always been great. So it's just been the band's really serious about the music they write, but the relationships that have formed after the last 12 years have been great. I mean, when we play, when people hear us, we have a lot of firepower. I mean, we play really loud. And the truth is, all the songs that the people will hear that come were written during the making of the movies that probably, you know, hopefully a lot of people saw. So it turned into kind of a fun night. And the idea, again, was just to play. There wasn't a big plan. There's no giant machine behind me. There's just us and the audience.
Yeah, for sure. You said you were recording, a lot. You worked sort of your band schedule around your movie shoots and on location and things. There was that Untold Truth song, because I was obviously listening to a bunch of stuff in preparation for this, but there was that song, Leland, Iowa, and the line says, "Their fathers, like their fathers, were raising kids and growing corn." Was that sort of a nod to the Field of Dreams, is this heaven, no, it's Iowa idea?
Yeah, we that song was written when I was making Field of Dreams.
Okay. Perfect. So how does that sort of work? Take me, because your preparation is as an actor, but then are you like in your trailer jotting down song lyrics, or you know, how does that sort of work?
Well, you know, when we go on tour, we always think like kids going on vacation. Oh, we're going to write a bunch of songs, and we never write one. You know, but when I go on a tour, I end up writing screenplays, and when I'm on the movie sets, the guys come and visit me, and we end up writing songs. So go figure. It's just kind of the weird opposite, you know.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
That's right.
I love it. Just because Field of Dreams came up before I move off of that one, I'm almost sensing like a little bit of a through line. Like when you were mentioning your wife sort of encouraging you to do this, you know, to build something totally illogical. And you had that line on your website where it says, you know, "F it, what do I have to lose? Maybe just some of the best times of my life. I'm going to go out and make this band." You know, it totally reminds me of those Ray Kinsella Annie moments. What sort of can we do? What like lesson can we learn from that sort of Ray Kinsella risk-taking spirit that you had, to whether it's starting a band or building a baseball field? You know, why do you listen to some of those, you know, moments of at midnight in the dark, these crazy ideas in bed? Why should we sort of follow those dreams?
Well, I don't know. You know, you have one shot at this thing, you know, and I've been really lucky for sure. But, like, there's a song, I forget which record it is, called 90 Miles an Hour. That's kind of a metaphor for my life, which is, you know, when I decided I would be an actor it freaked everybody out in my family. You know, everybody thought, well, now what are you going to do? How are you going to do that? And the truth is, you know, the people that love you the most are also those that can have a tendency to hold you back. And that song talks about that idea of, you know, maybe just doing things, you know, and by the time people catch up with you, you're already 90 miles an hour, you know, you're already 90 miles down the road. And it's, that song's a metaphor for my life, you know, and we'll talk about it that night when we play. And, I don't try to separate the movies from the music.
That's cool. They're intertwined. But you mentioned that sometimes the people that love you the most are the ones that hold you back. Explain that a little more. How you sort of need to take that.
Well, they don't do it. They just do it because they're afraid. They don't want you to fail.
Right.
They,
it's protective.
They don't know how to help you. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that they don't understand and what happens is, and, you know, they can transfer that fear onto you and you just don't take that step. And that's all I meant.
No, it's absolutely a great piece of advice. They're sort of in protective mode, the comfortable mode. Is a song like, if we put on 90 Miles an Hour, you said was the song, that's sort of will our listeners, if they plug that on or if they see that at the Birchmere, maybe help them take that leap of faith?
Yeah, I think they would understand that when they see that. I'm not any different than anybody listening. You know, we all have to, you know, we all have different ideas about ourselves than sometimes what we think other people have about us. You know, we have things churning inside us, you know, and sometimes if you tell people what you want to do, there's going to be everybody around you to say, well, I don't think you can do that. And right now you don't need that. You know, just go do what you want to do. By the time, you know, people catch up to you, you know, you've already done it.
That's such great advice. I think people are going to respond to that when they hear this interview. Was it a similar thing? Did you have any naysayers when, let's say, I don't know, directing Dances with Wolves or something? Did people say, oh, he can't direct? And then you're just like, no, 90 miles an hour, I'm doing it.
Yeah, no, believe me, I didn't think I could direct. I was more afraid than anybody. But I didn't want to let fear stop me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, you know, I mean, I would be afraid if I was in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's something to be fearful of, you know, but the truth is, you know, you got this life and you say, I think I can do this, and you have to try. You know, I don't think that's being that brave, but I didn't want to go through life going, yeah, I could have this, I could have that. And we can easily find ourselves there, and that's not a crime either, but you got to kind of, for me, I had to kind of blow through that.
For sure. What would that early, that church shepherd that was, you know, leading those flocks of sheep, what would he tell your Dances with Wolves character?
I don't know, but I got to tell you, the biggest important day in my life, a lot of people will think of the Oscars, they'll think of a lot of different things, right?
Yeah.
But if I think about one of the most important days of my life was when I decided what I would do, and I didn't really care what other people thought. That was a relief to me.
What was that moment? Do you remember that moment specifically?
Yeah, I'd been married a year. I was going down the road of, you know, an everyday job, and I knew that acting was in my blood, and I decided, nope, this is what I'm going to do. I don't really care. And I knew that I had to be a provider, and I would figure out how to do that, but I wanted everybody off my back. I was going to do what I wanted to do.
I love it. And now that whole journey, now look at you. You're touring and you're coming to the Birchmere. If we show up, what can we expect to hear? Is it any of your Modern West older stuff, or is it the new album you said?
Yeah,
you had
released? We'll play off of every record, including the last one we made, which is called "Where the Music Takes You." We'll probably, you know, those and those records, I think, will be out front if people want to take them home. So. Hell, I'm even bringing my book for some people. You know, I co-wrote this book called The Explorer's Guild, and for people who like high adventure, I just bring my life with me. You know what I mean?
It's a fiction book?
Yeah.
That's the one you brought to the National Press Club, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, bring it. So there you go, listeners. Here's some music and pick up a copy of the book. There you go.
Yeah, everything's about sharing. Yeah. You do something, you share it.
You're like a renaissance man on this. All right, in terms of sharing, embarrass some of your band members real quick. You know, break down who's up on stage with you.
Well, Blair, number one, our bass player. I think Blair would go on the road 365 days a year. I just do. I think when he gets his little bunk, he's so happy. So there's, you know, for him. And, you know, Teddy and Park, I got to tell you, I they're separate guys, so I don't mean to group them together, but they kind of really remind me of, like, they're such amazing players and such great songwriters, all becoming great, important friends in my life. John Koyman, who obviously brought me back to music. I don't really even know how to make fun of a guy who, you know, kind of opened up a whole new frontier for me. Larry looks like the Mr. Clean guy, you know, on that bottle, you know, with that bald head of his back there. But listen, we've never had a fight, you know, in the 12 years we've been together. I break all the ties in our band, and that's the way it's always been. And so my big hope is that people show up and that we're going to play loud for them, and we're gonna have a really good time.
Awesome. Well, everybody, come check it out. It's Kevin Costner in Modern West at the Birchmere on Wednesday, August 24th. Sounds like it's going to be an awesome show. Final seconds before we cut you loose. We have a huge debate in the newsroom. Bull Durham or Field of Dreams? Which is the better baseball movie?
No. Well, Bull Durham's the better baseball movie. Listen, Bull Durham, you know, is Crash Davis is one of the great characters that anybody would ever get to play. And that movie kind of is so iconic for so many reasons. But then you take Field of Dreams, a movie that nobody completely even understood at the time we were trying to make it, turns into be kind of our generation's It's a Wonderful Life. So
oh, totally,
both movies stand on the landscape of Americana, and I could no more separate those movies or put one in front of the other than The Man on the Moon.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
See you at the show.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.